Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our motto is EDH, community, now and always. Before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find them on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people supporting me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy MTG Casuals, Couch J-Row, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Phase for supporting the show. You'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can buy your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Game, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com right now. Got two really awesome logos on there, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale. They both look really awesome. You're definitely going to want one for you and for all your friends. So again, that is Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine. All proceeds help support the show and is greatly appreciated. Today's episode of the podcast is kind of going back to a little bit more of the normal stuff after kind of a funky month here, and, you know, it's about that time of year again, or, you know, at least that time of the month anyway. You know, preview season never really ends here, so it seems like preview season is always ongoing, but whatever, that doesn't matter, because we are here today to talk about the absolutely bonkers set that is Double Masters 2022, the second of the Double Master sets. We last saw one back in 2020, I believe, and this is going to be even bigger, even better, even badder. It's going to be just so amazing. But again, you know, in order to talk about Double Masters, I can't just talk about this by myself, right? Gotta have an awesome guest on here. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, someone who actually I've been trying to get on the podcast for a while now, but we never got chance to make it work until now. I would like to introduce Danny from the Dad Jokes and Cardboard podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, MJ. It is an absolute pleasure and honor to be here.
No problem. But before we get started here, Danny, could you give a quick shout out to your podcast and what you do over there?
Yes, absolutely. So I run the podcast with my co-host, Ethan. We post new episodes every week, and we talk about all kinds of things under the Magic umbrella. We accept deck techs. We don't do deck techs. We talk about the color pie. We're moving on to color pairings now. We do spoilers, previews. But one of our favorite things that we've started doing is whenever we go to a new set, a new plane, or returning to a plane, or whenever we get a set that's set in a plane, we get planeswalkers in that set, we like to discuss what... So the planeswalkers that we didn't get in that set, we like to discuss what they would be doing on that plane if they were there. For example, when we got Nuka Penna, we would... Like, a Johnny would be a baker. And nobody would be upset that they got fur in their bread because it's a Johnny. Everyone loves a Johnny.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and where can people find your podcast if they're interested in taking a look at it?
You can find us anywhere you find your podcast. We're on Spotify, iTunes, the Google Play Store.
The usual gamut of podcast outlets that I usually try to shout out and usually forget like 15 of them at the end of the episode. Yeah.
Yes. Everywhere except Pandora, because Pandora refuses to get back to us.
Yeah, stuff like that happens. But anyway, yeah, so Double Masters 2022 is going to just be an absolutely busted set. I mean, we've been looking at the reveals for the last few weeks. If you out there as the listeners have been looking at the card list, you obviously know a lot of this ahead of time, but if you haven't been looking at the card list and this is the first time you're listening to some of the cards that are going to be in there, this is going to be a busted set as far as just the cards that are getting reprinted in here. It's amazing. I really don't know how much there is to say about this because there's just so much to say. Where do you start? So yeah, I mean, this set is just, yeah, it's crazy. And Danny, I really want to get your opinion on this set. You know, I want to know, just like, how excited are you about this set? Because I am stoked.
Oh, I am beyond thrilled. I am so excited for this set. The first Double Masters was a great set. There was a lot of, you know, it was more like Artifact Masters because it was mostly an artifact-based set. But this set is just like reprint city. Like they threw cards in here that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah,
absolutely. And when they were spoiling some of them, it was just bonkers. Like when they, because obviously there were leaks before the official spoilers began, but I usually try to avoid those leaks until spoiler season starts, because I try to enjoy whatever set we're currently in as much as I can, because these sets are getting released so close now, because there's so much supplemental product now. Like 5, 6, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, there was like four to six sets a year, because it was mostly just standard sets with like an occasional master set sprinkled in. Then they started adding secret layers, and now that Commander and Modern are super popular formats, they started adding even more supplemental sets. So now we've got a new set like every month and a half, so 2 months. It's ridiculous. We get so many sets a year.
Yeah, but I mean, this set is so worth it in a way that there's just so much value packed in here, and honestly, a whole lot of really fun little cards that, you know, are outside of the obvious mythic bombs here, I feel, you know, really do need to be mentioned. So let's shout out some of those cards, shall we? I mean, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the obvious two cards. And again, this is going to be kind of the CDH player in me coming out here. But, you know, the Dockside Extortionist reprint, I think, is kind of where the set begins and ends, honestly. It's the first time that we've seen this card, and the only other time we've seen this card since Commander 2019 in the Jeskai Precon. Yes. And, yeah, this card has already dropped down to about $50 just in the way that, or I mean, it used to be about $80 before this, and now it's down to $50. So I mean, that has already just kind of brought that value down. But the fact that this card is still demanding $50, it's insane. It is a good card in CDH. It is absolutely busted. It is a combo enabler in literally everything. This card is amazing. It's got new art, yada yada yada. I can't really talk too much about that because, you know, everyone else who does content talks about this a whole lot more than I do. I just really want to talk about the depth of this set, honestly. And the second card that, again, is getting a lot of players excited, especially in the CDH community, is Imperial Seal. And again, for anyone who doesn't know what Imperial Seal is, it is a really old tutor that originally came out in Portal 3 Kingdoms. It's not something you typically see because that card is almost $2,000 on the secondary market, so you're probably not going to see that one in paper anytime soon. Again, this is why we proxy in the CDH community. But anyway, Imperial Seal is a sorcery for 1 black mana. It says search your library for a card, then shuffle and put that card on top. You lose 2 life. So effectively a sorcery speed vampiric tutor. But yeah, it's just, this is a card that we haven't seen in so long, and you know, when this was spoilered, my friends in the CDH community were just going absolutely busted bonkers, and then a lot of other people were asking, hey, you know, what's so great about Imperial Seal? You know, it's a bad version of vampiric tutor, and my CDH friends are saying, no, this is literally the greatest reprint that we could possibly have outside of Dockside. Just because the breadth of black tutors in CDH, again, without going too much into that, it's nice to be able to have a 1-mana tutor with top deck manipulation, 2 life, you can play it on turn 1, etc., etc. Yeah, so Imperial Seal is a huge deal in that community. Maybe not so much as in the more casual tables, but yeah, it's going to be fun to see more copies of this card actually make it in, so that people can actually have a paper copy of this. Yeah, it's fun.
Yes, like you said, so when they finally confirmed that they were going to have the Dockside in this set, everybody went crazy. And then immediately after the Dockside, in the WotC stream, they said, let's give them another one. And then they dropped the Imperial Seal. Mm-hmm. And my jaw hit the ground. Because my co-host messaged me and said, isn't that on the reserve list? I'm like, no, it is not. It is just very expensive.
Very expensive.
Because it was only printed in Portal 3 Kingdoms.
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy wild. How that Yeah, it's crazy how that works out, honestly, with the whole reserve list. And I'm not going to get into the reserve list on this episode.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that we're seeing Imperial Seal is just like kind of the love letter to Commander and kind of competitive Commander. So much mm-hmm. so that people are dubbing this kind of CEDH Masters in a way. Just the fact there are just so many good CEDH playable cards in this set. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. Danny, what are some of your other favorite cards that are in this set that you just feel like you just have to talk about and everyone needs to know when you shout this from the mountaintops?
Honestly, I'm really excited that they put the Path of Exile, the art that they put on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the promotional art that they put on mm-hmm. it. And I was very, because I do love that art for Path to Exile. It's got the soldier kind of wandering through like this portal, look, this hole looking thing in the wall, almost like he's going into exile. But like, you know, obviously it's what the card says, but like this art for the Path to Exile is one of my favorite arts for it.
Yeah, it's definitely really, really nice alternate art there, especially since we've had more recent art. I mean, we've seen kind of the Todd Lockwood art a lot recently, and it's nice to be able to have mm-hmm. Something a little bit different on this one.
Yeah, and another one of the non-mythics that I was really excited to see was Body Double.
Oh, yes, Body Double.
Yeah, we haven't seen a Body Double reprint in a while either. I think the last time it was printed was in the Historic Anthology 3, which is not even a digital format. It's not a physical format, it's a digital format. So that's Arena only. But before that, it was Commander 17. And mm-hmm. Body Double is just, it's an underloved card because we don't see it enough. It was printed back in 2017 with the Commander sets, and back then Commander was still like getting its footing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Body Double is definitely a nice card to have. It's going to be interesting to see how that works actually in the limited environment for Double Masters. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, Wizards of the Coast is going to attempt to have a limited environment for this. Not sure how it's going to work, but we shall see.
We shall see indeed.
This would be just a busted limited format to take a part in. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be funky to see people potentially dropping an Imperial Seal on turn one in limited. And also the fact that they actually do have a combo built into this set, oddly enough. And again, for anyone out there wondering, yes, they are reprinting Sensei's Divining Top in this set. That again, another yes, one of those cards that you felt like they were never going to reprint.
Like a real reprint. The last time it was reprinted was on the list.
Yeah, and now it's in a real reprint in set. And again, Elsha of the Infinite is also getting printed in this set. And again, another big CDH deck is Elsha Top, where you're mm-hmm. basically able to cast anything off the top of your library with Elsha, use your top to set the top of the library, keep putting it back on top, just go through the library. And the fact you can do this mm-hmm. in a limited environment, if you do somehow pull these two cards, that is just insane. It's crazy.
Yeah, they really did go all out with Double Masters too. This one is a mythic, but it's like, in my opinion, it's a very underloved mythic.
All right.
I know people see it and some of my friends put cards in certain categories.
Sure.
And one of the categories that they put quote unquote bad cards in is their do nothing spells, do nothing permanents, like especially enchantments. They hit the board and they do nothing when they land. You need to wait for them to accrue value. And one of those spells is As Foretold.
Mm-hmm.
As Foretold, I guess it does fall under the category of it's a do-nothing enchantment. You pay 3 mana, hits the board, it does nothing. Because on its first turn, you can cast a zero-drop spell for free. But over time, it definitely gets very out of control very quickly. Because for something that most people forget about, As Foretold, is that it's any turn.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, it just says once each turn. Each turn. Yeah.
Yes. Which is just... yeah. People overlook this card a lot.
Yeah,
And it was originally printed in... not my favorite set, but definitely the set that printed my favorite lands. Amonkhet. Amonkhet mm-hmm. and Hour of Devastation gave me my favorite lands. So I really like that set.
Definitely, definitely. And when you just go down through the list of the cards, even just by color here, because we're both looking at Scryfall, and if you mm-hmm. just go down by color, there are just so many good cards just at all rarities that are just included. There's a lot of cards here that I play, again, at the common level. For instance, I run Deep Analysis personally. Eel Umbra is another favorite of mine, kind mm-hmm. of a nice little way, and especially in my meta where we deal with a lot of, like, mass removal spells. Eel Umbra yes. has saved my commander so many times because it's a one in a blue flash enchantment to give your creature totem armor, and that's a mm-hmm. really nice way to be able to protect yourself. Kasmina's Transmutation is another card that I love using because it's great to turn your opponent's commander into a frog, right?
So yes, I'm a big proponent of like changing someone's commander to something else rather than just killing it altogether.
Oh yeah.
And they have to do some politicking to get it out. And if their commander's really threatening, no one's gonna wanna help them out.
Yeah, for sure. And another one that I know is a big reprint, especially something that might be interesting for me to build, actually is the reprint of Shadowborn Apostle in the set at common.
Yes.
Yeah. This card has only been printed once in Magic 2014, but in this mm-hmm. set is going to be reprinted at common, and that's going to be really interesting. I mean, it was common originally, but it's being reprinted here. And for anyone who doesn't know what Shadowborn Apostle is, it's a 1/1 human cleric costing a single black, and a deck can have any number of cards named Shadowborn Apostle, which gets around the EDH singleton restriction. So you can mm-hmm. pay black and sacrifice six creatures named Shadowborn Apostle to tutor for a demon and put it on the battlefield. So yeah, just a really fun deck to build around, especially if you got a bunch of big demons in your deck and just do bunch of funky things. So yeah, yes. and the fact that this card was $4 originally made it a little bit harder to actually build a Shadowborn Apostle deck in paper. But now mm-hmm. that you know, now that there's a reprint, hopefully there will be a whole ton more copies since it is common. Getting out there, and people can hopefully start building the Shadowborn Apostle demon decks that they've wanted to for a long time but didn't want to drop $100 on or more just buying the apostles.
Yeah, $4 common is absurd.
It really is.
And to follow up with the Shadowborn Apostles, that they're also printing one of my probably my top three piece cards of graveyard hate, graveyard interaction,
mm-hmm.
is the Surgical Extraction.
Oh, right.
I play cards like Surgical Extraction and Lightning Bolt in Commander because they are very underlooked and they're actually stronger than people give them credit for, especially in Commander. Because Lightning Bolt, nowadays, Lightning Bolt's also getting a reprint in this set.
Talk about an iconic card.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt kills so many creatures, especially like nowadays it kills so many utility creatures that people rely on to do things. More than just Birds of Paradise, it kills so many different... that's a nice kitten you got there. Let's get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, with the Surgical Extraction, it's a 0-mana graveyard hate, and it gives you information because you can look through their library and their hand when you play it.
Yeah, so it you have one Phyrexian mana here. You can pay black or two life, choose target card in graveyard other than the basic land card, search its owner's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards of the same name as that card and exile them, and then that player shuffles. So yeah, if you know that there's a combo piece in their deck or just anything, a board wipe, anything, Surgical Extraction, especially at instant speed, can just purge that from the deck and you don't have to worry about it. So
mm-hmm.
it's, yeah, and it is exiled, so it's not going to the graveyard, it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to get rid of combos. I mean, yeah, there are just so many good cards that see a lot of CEDH play, especially, and Surgical Extraction would be one of those. It's kind of maybe more on the fringe, but mm-hmm. yeah, just a great way to be able, yeah, just a great way to be able to. I mean, yeah, CEDH is especially about all the free spells and the Phyrexian mana, mm-hmm. two life. That's nothing. So yeah, it's great to be able to have that kind of way to be able to deal with big threats. Speaking of removal, Chaos Warp is getting reprinted in this set.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, again, big red removal spell. Yes, Lightning Bolt, as you just said a moment ago, is being reprinted. We're getting a new Anger of the Gods with new art, which is really nice. Mm-hmm.
The new Chaos Warp art is hilarious. I am loving the new flavor text that they're putting on the new arts for cards.
Mm-hmm.
If I know the Chaos Warp says something along the lines of the butterflies, though confused, charged into battle. I'm still looking at it.
Yeah. This is on the alternate art version of Chaos Warp.
Yes, yes. Yes, on the alternate art version of the Chaos Warp, it says, the butterflies, though confused, confused but undeterred, the butterflies charged into battle.
It shows them attacking some, like, weird goblin orc thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're attacking the goblin orc thing or if they're coming from the armor going to wherever the goblin orc was pointing at.
That's true. Yeah, no idea. But yeah, that's some fun stuff right there. Yeah, You're right. The flavor text on a lot of these cards have actually really been improved if there wasn't anything on there originally. I really do enjoy seeing all the silly stuff that they've come up with in some of these cases. Let's see, some more cards that are interesting to talk about. I mean, we're going to go green here on this one. Mm-hmm. Just going down the green reprints, we have Allosaurus Shepherd, which was about $100 previously because it was only printed in Jumpstart. Well, now there will be more copies in there. It's currently about $30, at least as of this moment on Scryfall, or according to TCG Player anyway. You have a Bloom Tender reprint, which makes me feel a little bad. I just pulled one of these in a Mystery Booster draft back in Dallas, so now that value is going down. But again, who cares? There's more copies out there.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my friends who's been playing Magic since, you know, Magic came out. And I was actually, because a few weeks ago we did an episode on reprints. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing how we feel about reprints. And my co-host and I was saying that, my co-host was saying that he loves new cards. He loves seeing new cards. He wants to see, you know, more new cards. And I was saying, I honestly think we should get more reprints. Because every game we get 4 brand new sets a year. And sometimes we get 5 or 6 brand new sets a year, depending on, you know, how many more Modern or Commander sets are sprinkling throughout the year. Also, I was saying that I wish we would get, maybe not every other set, but every third set, we would get a reprint set. Because cards should be accessible to everybody. That's my opinion. Everyone should be able to have access to all the cards that they need so they can play the game. And I was talking to one of my friends, and he was upset because he's been playing Magic since the beginning. And I told him, like, I understand why you're upset, because you have an Imperial Seal, like an original Imperial Seal. And the price on it just tanked. I get why you're upset.
Yeah, I mean, especially since that's what the core sets were supposed to be for a while there, that those were kind of the standard legal cards that people wanted jammed into the typical summer set. And now that we're not seeing core sets anymore, this Double Masters set kind of has to take on that core set mantle, as well as also just providing a whole bunch of really cool cards to sell packs, right? I mean, and there are so many great other cards that we haven't even talked about. And again, there's so many cards that we're not going to be able to talk about that are in this set that are we've either played with, we own, we want to play with. Just so many things, yeah, that we could be here for 3 hours and still not touch on like half the cards, sure, right? Oh, man. So, yeah, just going through some of the other cards. But, yeah, to finish up my point on green there, yeah, we have our Bloom Tender. We have Concordant Crossroads, which just got reprinted in a Secret Lair. World Enchantment for a single green. All creatures have haste. Well, it used to only be in Legends and Chronicles. It was about $60, I believe. Now it's down to about $30. It's available with new art on there. We have a Food Chain reprint in here.
Yes.
Which, which was previously only
that's printed another card
in Mercadian Masks and then the list, obviously, but now we have another paper printing here. Again, another huge combo enabler. We have Hardened Scales, Green Sun Zenith, Oracle of Moldaya is in here. We have a Rancor reprinting. A card I really enjoy, Spider Spawning, is in here. Just so many great cards in green. Going back to red, Young Peasy is in here. Young Pyromancer is in here. Twin Flame is in here. That's fun. Seasoned Pyromancer, which is, I understand, is getting big and modern. Monastery Swiss Spear, which is now is available in Pauper, which is going to be really interesting to see.
Ooh, yes. yes. I know the Pauper players are very excited for this set because a lot of cards are being shifted down for their rarity.
Yep. Now you can even play Shadowborn Apostle in Pauper if that's something you want to do, because it's available and cheaper now, right? So, yeah, fun stuff. Blue And just fun cards to see reprinted here. You got Mana Drain here, which was reprinted in Commander Legends, but is being reprinted here as well. Force of Negation is going to be in here, which was absurdly expensive. Now it's in here too. Consecrated Sphinx is in here. White cards, Weathered Wayfarer, and Smothering Tithe, Teferi's Protection. Yes. I mean, just the list of cards, Damnation in Black, Bitter Blossom. Again, a Disfigure.
And some of these cards that you mentioned are getting new arts too, in case you didn't like the last art, or you just wanted something new to replace your old one.
Yeah, Unearth is getting in here. Yeheni is being reprinted. We get a new Alesha, even though the art is the same, but I think we have a new flavor text on that card now. Just Greater Gargadon is getting reprinted in red. Yeah, just so many funky cards, and that's not even talking about the multicolored cards. I mean, cause that just goes. You get an Animar, Anguished Unmaking, Assassin's Trophy, Tarkus Command, Aurelia the War Leader, Bloodbraid Elf. We're getting Bring to Light, Child of Alara. Again, I'm just going down the list here. This is crazy.
Yes.
Several of the leeches. Oh my God. Doran, Elenda, who's definitely one of my favorite commanders. More recently, Elsha, Azuri, Claw of Progress. We're getting Firesong and Sunspeaker, Gave. Grand Arbiter Augustine IV is getting reprinted here for the first time in a long time. So that one's going to come down in price a little bit here. We get Izzet Charm coming in at common now. Jota, Kalia, Kyrevec, Kombal, Caridor. Oh, man. There's just not enough air in my lungs to be able to say all these things, right?
No, well, Drotha,
Mimeoplasm, Mathas Fiendseeker, Nicol Bolas, Godfarer, the Planeswalker card, that's in here. Phyrexian Tyranny, Kasali Pride Mage, Rafik is getting reprinted, Rorikthar is getting reprinted. Privileged Position. Sidisi, Supreme Verdict, Teneb the Harvester, Terminate is getting reprinted in here. Earl, the Miststalker, again, one of the really big Voltron commanders. Villainous Wealth, Renin 6. Xur, Aethervial, just there's so many cards, and that now that we're talking about our artifacts, Aethervial, Bloodforge Battle Axe, Conqueror's Flail, Crucible of Worlds, Dark Steel Plate, Mana Vault, Panharmonicon, Phyrexian Altar, Sensei's Divining Top, Thrumming Stone.
Thrumming Stone is a big one.
Vidalcan Orrery. Oh,
very big. That's a Cold Snap card, and it hasn't been reprinted since. I mean, unless you count the list as a reprint.
It's not really a reprint, honestly.
No. Yeah, no. It was an expensive card for a while.
Yeah, talking about the Shadowborn Apostle there. It gives all your spells Ripple 4, so you can try to cast all of your... not really cast, but be able to play your... I guess it is cast. Yeah, but yeah, be able to cast all your... all of those cards without paying their mana.
All the apostles in one turn.
Yep, just like bring them all out. I've been beaten over the head with this by Dragon's Approach, with Thrumming Stones, and that gets gross in a quickly. So
yes, it does.
And another card I'm actually really excited to see is Traveler's Amulet, which is an artifact costing one and pay one sacrifice to search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle. I really love these sorts of effects, and the cards are like 5 cents a piece, but the ability to be able to guarantee yourself a land drop on any given turn, I think is really underrated. So be able to see that with new art. I really enjoy fun little cards like that, but yeah, we're even getting a Forbidden Orchard and Cavern of Souls reprints for the lands. And this set is so crazy, and that's not even talking about the Eldrazi too.
No, we don't need to talk about the Eldrazi.
Yeah, but the fact we're getting one of the three, even though the Emrakul is the banned one for Commander, there's a reason
The Shuffle Titans.
Yeah, and there's a reason why the Double Masters 2022 here, according to Scryfall, is $6,000 worth of value right now. So many good cards, many amazing things. So anyway, Danny, I've been talking way too long about this. What are some of the cool underrated cards that you see in here that we haven't mentioned that you really think need to be talked about more?
Well, speaking, as a player who one of his first commander decks was Atla Polani, she's getting a reprint in this set. I really wish she would have gotten to new art, but that's okay. She's getting an etched foil, and I'm okay with that. The Firemind Vessel actually is great in two-color decks. It's a two-color mana rock for four. So that definitely needs, you know, some more attention brought to it. It's got some new art on it too. The Conqueror's Flail hasn't seen a printing since, you know, Commander 2016 in its original print run. That hasn't been reprinted since it was first released, and it's amazing. It doubles. It's great for Voltron. I was thinking of Inquisitor's Flail. It's great for any color deck that doesn't run white, because you can't run Grand Abolisher in a non-white deck, but now you can. Now it's easier to, because you have a reprint of the Conqueror's Flail.
The value is up to, it's $10 now currently on the Scryfall website. Again, that could change over time, but yeah, the fact that Conqueror's Flail is a nice weird little silence effect for any sort of thing, because again, as long as it's attached to a creature, your opponents can't cast spells during your turn. Again, that's casting all spells. Obviously abilities get around it, but still really good. And
yes,
in the right
very
deck.
Good. It is absolutely very good. You know, Thousand Year Storm, obviously that card was a nightmare when it was first released back in Throne of Eldraine.
Mm-hmm.
That card was a nightmare, and it's getting reprinted with new art, which is great. The Rampant Growth is getting new art on it, so that's fun. You know,
actually, I think that was the 7th edition art, actually. Because I have a copy of that.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the full art version.
Oh yeah, definitely the full art version. Yeah.
Yes, but the sunflower art for the Rampant Growth is probably my favorite art for it, because that is some very good art for it.
It definitely is.
And it was not cheap.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, Rampant Growth has been printed so many times, but there's so many different arts, honestly, for it. You can kind of pick and choose whatever you want for the art on that sort of card.
Yes.
And now the fact that it's common, you know, it's just getting more copies out there. So.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, Legacy players are excited to see new art for Gifts Ungiven.
Mm-hmm.
Commander players saw it and they thought, is it getting unbanned? No, it's not getting unbanned. No, it is not. But that was still fun. It's fun to dream.
Sorry, everybody, but yeah, that card is so bonkers in our format. Of course, we do have Intuitions, which isn't all that different.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, it just makes you kind of wonder about that one. But yeah, we're not here to talk about banned cards. It's
no.
You know, I'm sorry. I mean, we can talk about the banned cards, but not, you know, whether they should be or shouldn't be banned. That goes on a whole nother topic there. But yeah,
yes.
It's cool to see some cards that are not Commander legal in here too. The fact
that
it's meant for literally every format. It just happens to be a lot of like really good Commander and CDH cards. So you know.
Yeah.
Some here, some there.
You know, Commander's an eternal format, so you can play cards from the beginning of Magic. So you're going to see Commander cards everywhere. Spell Pierce is another one. That's another good one. Do people play Spell Pierce in Commander in CDH?
Oh, yeah. People play Spell Pierce all the time. And again, you'd be surprised how often people can't pay the 2 on Spell Pierce.
Oh, you're telling me. I run Mana Tithe in my decks.
Yep.
Because people do not respect the tithe. They will, you know, tap out for this big play and they get Mana Tithe. And it's just like, great. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. Man, I've never successfully pulled off the Hoth Angel or Hoth Queen of Snow special Mana Tithe there, but I imagine that feels like a level up moment if you can pull it off. And Spell Pierce is pretty much the same. So yeah, any kind of counter spell that costs 1 in CDH with a cost associated to it actually does see plenty of play.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's good to know.
Mana Leak might not, but yeah, Spell Pierce would.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great. I play Mana Tithe in my mono white deck, and my favorite thing is getting people with it. I've gotten so many people with it, especially like for like really big blowout plays.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tap out for something crazy, and like Mana Tithe. For example, I was playing in a game the other day, and I went to kill somebody on the stack, and they tried to Teferi's Protection out, and I was like, nope, Mana Tithe, and they're like, oh great, I tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like things like protection spells, they keep up enough mana to cast that spell. So,
yep.
And Mana Tithe really gets them.
Definitely. Even though it is just a pay 1, it's nice to have it occasionally, when especially when it does work out.
The Concordant Crossroads is getting a new art.
Yep.
The Eternal Witness. The Concordant Crossroads has got it has art and flavor text from Kaldheim. Something that I really do love that they're doing in this Double Masters 2 set that I forgot to mention is that some of the art on these cards, they're picked and chose specific set that they've done in the last like few years to inspire the art for these cards. The Concordant Crossroads is Kaldheim. Obviously, it's got the World Tree, and the flavor text is from Asika, God of the Tree. And then the Eternal Witness, it's got very like Ixalan vibes for sure. 'Cause it looks like she's sitting, she looks like on Oroska in the art, and she's sitting on this throne of bones. The Hardened Scales is obviously dinosaurs, so might be Ixalan as well. Who knows? Yeah, so yeah, I really like that they did that for the art for these cards, that they chose a plane, they flavored it after that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many cards we could talk about these ad infinitum or, ad nauseum, honestly. Okay, bad CDH reference, but yeah. But I think the big question about this set is how popular and how easy it's going to be able to get some of these cards, unfortunately, because it is going to be a very expensive set to purchase. So
Yes.
I think that's going to be
And
the one thing that we kind of have to temper expectations a little bit is that these cards are getting reprinted, but Double Masters is not exactly going to be the easiest set to find. Booster packs are going to be $17 a piece, judging by what we're seeing right now. And yeah, I mean, again, I think it's a really big key of saying if you just want a few singles, probably want to buy them. But if you want to crack the packs, there's a whole lot of value just waiting in there for you to uncover.
Yes, and I think that they did confirm that you can get the full art cards into draft in the draft packs or the set packs. Like that, it's not just in the collector packs.
I hope so, because those collector packs are going for at least $60 a piece right now, and
Yes, they
that's
are.
frightfully expensive for a lot of
For a
players.
single pack, yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Especially since you're never quite sure what you're going to get out of those packs.
That's very true. And if this set, if the last Double Master set was any indication for how scarce this set is going to be, people might have a hard time getting their hands on it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, there's just so many cool things in here. So many cards are getting alternate arts, etched foils, new art, bunch of crazy stuff. Even some of the bounce lands are getting new art, which is really cool.
Yes, the bounce lands look fantastic.
Yes, they do. And we even get new City of Brass art, which is done by Mark Poole, which is really nice.
New City of Brass art, new Cavern of Souls art, new Forbidden Orchard art. Like the big artifacts for that are getting reprinted in this set are getting new arts as well. The Aether Vial has Dak stealing the masterpiece Aether Vial on it, which is phenomenal. The Crucible of Worlds has Sera building their plane. The Mana Vault is obviously Nuka Penna inspired. The Sensitive Divining Top is Neon Dynasty inspired. It's just they did a phenomenal job.
Oh yeah, the alternate arts in this set, they've really kicked up the quality on these just to 11, honestly. Is that there are so many good cards in the set just as it is, but when you go to the alternate arts, there are so many cool things that we've never seen before. These are the kinds of things it's like, I wish these could be on my wall, right? They are that good. It's too bad they're on a small piece of cardboard that I really can't just like sit at and stare at, right?
Yes, maybe, who knows, maybe Ultra Pro will do something with it like they did with the secret layer from
The Secret Lair.
October last year. Yeah, like they did with the secret layers. Maybe they will, who knows.
Maybe they will. And I think they should, honestly, because there's so much art here that is just so good that someone can make a lot of money just selling these as products and whatnot. And Ultra Pro would definitely do well to sell even some of these as play mats or deck sleeves or whatnot. And then we
Yeah,
just get the etched
banners,
foils.
scrolls.
Yeah, the etched foils are just so nice. I mean, I think they're fairly new. I think Commander Legends was the first time we saw etched foils, if I'm correct
Correct.
on that one. Yeah, and they've definitely been kind of playing around with exactly how they look, but I really enjoy these kind of etched foils because they give you kind of a nice little color differentiation from the original card, and there's just something nice about about that. Again, you know, the cards do curl some too, but you know, besides that, they just look so nice on the front. At least I think so.
No, no, I completely agree. I do love the X-Foil cards. They're gorgeous. I know whenever I get a curling card, I usually just decurl it by bending it backwards, but that's just me. And my friends trust me enough to decurl their cards as well, because I do a pretty good job of straightening them out. But there is, you know, I'm not sure if this is the first time they've done this, because I haven't really noticed in other sets, but they're doing textured foils as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the full arts are getting some textured treatment, so I guess we'll see what those look like when they finally drop.
Yeah, and we're getting the three Eldrazi Titans, Liliana, and Ren and Six in there. So again, yes. Some very money cards, I'd say,
mm-hmm.
in there to really see what'll happen there. But yeah, there are so many alternate arts. I do not envy anyone who actually has to inventory this set. But as a player, I think we can all agree that Double Masters is going to be a hit, whether we're just looking for one or two cards, or whether we're actually going to be cracking packs and playing sealed or whatnot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, just any last thoughts?
Personally, I'm definitely going to be cracking packs because I have a problem.
Yeah, so before we end here, Danny, do you have any last thoughts on the set? Anything that we haven't talked about that you just really want to shout out, or just like any cards you really want? What are the cards that Danny wants the most out of the set?
I definitely want another Bring to Light, because that card is phenomenal. In five color decks, it's really good. It's a very slept on card. And then there's, you know, the As Foretold, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see that Smothering Tide is getting a reprint, because that card was too expensive for no reason. Although granted, that would technically fall under the Do Nothing enchantments, because it hits the board, it does nothing until, you know, people start drawing cards. The lands are gorgeous. And I'm in the playgroup, I'm definitely like the artifact person.
Yep.
Do all the artifact shenanigans, so I'm excited to see some new art for these artifacts, or some of these artifacts that I already play. Some of these artifacts I'm gonna have to find a home for. And my co-host is absolutely in love with the Richard Kane Ferguson art. He said he wants all of them just to have them.
Nice. And yeah, the cards that I really want to be able to have a chance at, you know, if I've opened some packs or something, getting a Damnation would be pretty nice to have.
Oh yes, the new Damnation art gives me big. So this might show my age a little, but it gives me a big, like, Death Note vibes, which is like an anime from, like, it's like 15, 20 years ago, so long ago. But are you familiar with Death Note?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it gives me, like, big Death Note vibes, so that's cool.
And the fact that they're reprinting Bitter Blossom is definitely overdue. It's Ooh. Nice to see that card, especially
yes.
especially with the art, the Rebecca Gay art on there.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing that down to $25 is really nice. And again, just a lot of cards here that I do play in some of my decks that are commons, right? It's nice to mm-hmm. be able to have some of these available to us, you know, in a new, either new art or just another printing, to keep those prices down. Just, or, you know, even just to see in, like, a sealed environment. So many mm-hmm. good little cards in here that are fun to play with. And it's just, so many cards that I do have in my personal box of cards that are mm-hmm. going to be in the set. And it's really nice to be able to see that. Even Assassin's Trophy being reprinted, that's going to be really nice, because that's really been going up in value. It's a great card in all Absolutely. Levels of EDH. And, yeah, it's so much value in this set that, again, I can't even mention just like half the cards here. This is so good.
Not in a single breath.
Yeah. And I really hope everyone out there who's listening to this episode also and really enjoys the set, whether you're cracking boxes of this or whether you're picking up singles, or, you know, even if it's just passing by. Again, I just hope that you enjoy the set, and, you know, just enjoy the set. I guess that's all I can say there. No reason
yes,
to sugarcoat
enjoy
that.
The set.
All right, Danny, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been awesome having you. It's been awesome talking about these cards with you.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to our next game.
Oh, definitely. All right, and again, where can people find the Dad Jokes and Cardboard podcast?
You can find us on Twitter at DJNCB, and anywhere you find your podcast except for Pandora, because I'm still working on that one. But yeah, we... We technically do have a YouTube and a Twitter, but there's no content up there yet. We're still filming stuff for those things, but we'll get stuff up there for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. All right, and if you want to find me on the Twitters, that is at MTGN Quarantine. If you found the happy-looking Umog wearing a pair of headphones, you've found the right place. You can also find my podcast, same as theirs, on the usual podcast outlets. There's Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, MTG Casts, and a million others. I never remember all of them, but again, if it's a major podcast outlet, odds are you can find my podcast on there. You can also find all my links over at Linktree at linktr.ee/MTGInQuarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people supporting me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoopays for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And you can get your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's INKEDgaming.com. Every purchase supports the channel and is greatly appreciated. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. Double Masters drops in a few days here, so we're definitely on the lookout for that. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.